Today we're completing the discussion we had of Shehiya. Those of you who unfortunately could not make it due to the fact that we're bearing your mace mitzvah or what have you not during the first year, we'll just bring you up to speed. We've been discussing up until now the idea of what is Bishul on Shabbos. We're now discussing the important Takanos D'Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan tell us that there are some cases where you wouldn't have thought that there's any problem whatsoever. However, l'maaseh, you run into a serious problem. The first one is Shehiya. What's Shehiya? I put something on the stove before Shabbos. I'm going to let it stay on the stove throughout Shabbos. Midoraisa, that's not a problem. I'm not doing any malacha on Shabbos. On Shabbos, I'm not turning on a fire, etc. I'm just leaving it there. Just like if I set up my Shabbos clock to turn the lights on and turn the lights off on Shabbos. All the malacha was done on Friday, so I don't have a problem. So too, this should not be a problem either. If I would sit down and I would leave my pot on the fire, why should that be an issue whatsoever? So the Gemara explains to us that there was a concern, Shemi Echata Begacholim. What's the concern? So I'm going to put my pot up of food. It's not going to be cooked. And then my wife's going to have this food cooking. And then I'm going to come home with more guests than she expected. And now we need to eat the food. So what's she going to do? So the natural reaction is to stoke the coals. So because it's concerned that you're going to stoke the coals, Shemi Echat B'Kacholim, the Rabbanan said you cannot put anything on the fire before Shabbos unless it's cooked. What's the definition of cooked? We said that's a machokas. Some opinions say that it's cooked kamacho ben drosoy, it's edible, but it still would be getting better afterwards, so that it was enough. And other people say, no, it has to be mitzameik viralo. There has to be nishmashal called tzorcho, it has to be totally cooked, and any bit beyond that, and it's just going to get worse. Right? What's the, so the theoretical machokas is as follows. The question is my wife going to want it better cooked, so she's going to stoke the coals, even though it's edible already? Or no, once it's edible, that's enough, that's all what you need. So that's what the Gemara tells us. The Gemara tells us that there's a promise of Me'echad V'Gecholim. The Rishonim, we discussed, the Mishnah Berurah said, with Chachila, you should try to have everything cooked before Shabbos totally. B'di'avad, if it's half-baked, that's not so bad either. He's willing to go along with that. What do I do about this? So it has to be what we need, but it has to be the oven, it has to be Geruf of a Ketumah. What's Geruf of a Ketumah? I have to push the coals away or cover them with dust. I have to make it clear to myself that this is Shabbos and you can't stoke the coals. If I set it up in that way, that should be okay. What is Geruf of a Ketumah? Practically, it's a hecker that I should look at it and realize, well, wait a second, catch myself before I do it. What do we do nowadays? We last left off by discussing the minhag nowadays that we put a blech on the fire. So, just like they used to put dust on the coals, now we put a metal plate across the fire. Is that okay? Is that good enough? So the Chazon Ish thought not. The Chazon Ish says it's wonderful that there is a plate between the flames and the pots, but I wasn't going to stoke the flames. Right? If I wanted to adjust my oven, what would I do nowadays? I would turn the knobs. So the blech that's between my fire and my pot, that's lovely, but it's not going to stop me from turning the knobs. So therefore, the Chazish was not excited about it, but Moshe Feinstein kind of agreed. And Moshe Feinstein said that really the blech that you're looking for has a lip on it, and that covers your knobs as well. Now, l'chachila, he thinks that the knobs should be covered. He has some svaras we discussed last time, b'di'avad, if it's not covered, what's the story with that? Is that okay? So he said, yeah, but the evidence okay, but really he thinks the blech should cover the knobs as well, because we're looking for a hecker. We're looking for you to stop yourself before you do that. We had last left off with a discussion of C. Pesach Frank, talks about a plata. What is a plata? A plata is a very interesting, so he's talking about a non-adjustable plata. Yes? Well, again, in an oven, somehow or another, you're going to have to do the same thing.
Okay, but the oven's closed. So when you open and close it again, then there's another problem with that.
Well, yes, there's a machokas where I could put an oven box into the oven as a sort of blech. There's a discussion about that.
Heimer actually mentioned that if you do that, you don't have a problem with adding water into a pot of chalice, into a toilet.
If you do what?
If we have that box around the Tzadik.
So yeah, he's probably talking about a Kedera Al-Gabe Kedera, which is different. So this whole, we haven't discussed that yet. But yeah, most people aren't making and even using that box for other reasons, Hatman issues, etc. Beyond where we're up to right now. So the question is, what about a Plata? So the Shoel, so since it's too based on Frank, what heats up the Plata? Coils. But you can't get to the coils because the coils are covered. They're within the plata. So is that considered a blech? Is that considered grufa of a ketumah? So he says...
You can't raise it or lower it. It's the one temperature. You stick it in
right. So he says, he's mako because it's not adjustable. What are you going to do to it? You're going to blow it? You're going to take big billows? Nothing you can do. So he says, if I was going to rely on your heter, he said that it's covered, that wouldn't help me because this is natural. The plata always looks that way. He said, but what I will rely on is the fact that it's not adjustable. Right? If you can't adjust it, gezeir shemiyachat b'chom doesn't really matter at all. Taking a look at Rav Shimon Eider up to number 11. Electric stoves can be regulated by controls also require a blech. It's not just gas ovens, but even electric. Hot plates, urns, and other electric food ovens operate only at one temperature and cannot be adjusted, do not require blech for shihia. Anything that's not adjustable, you can't say that, you know, it's gezer or shem yichat b'gachom. You can't. There's nothing you can do to adjust it. So if I have a non-adjustable hot plate, we have pretty much absolute agreement. I can leave my food there before Shabbos because we're not concerned you're going to do anything to the food. Those that can be adjusted should have a tape or other covering over the knob, which is used for adjusting. What if it is an adjustable hot plate? They have such a thing. So he said, in that case, either pop off the knob or put some tape on the knob. And by doing that, you wouldn't have any problems. Okay. So there you have it. So it seems in terms of warming your food before Shabbos, and a non-adjustable hot plate would seem to be very much the way to go. It would definitely be preferable to a... blech, definitely a blech that does not cover the knobs. It's for sure would be much better than that, and also it's better because you probably won't get carbon monoxide poisoning.
So the blechs we use was water inside.
We're not after the Kedera blech.
Oh, that's a different one.
Right. That's a different thing. We're talking now the normal blech,
yeah.
Right? You know, like your mother has to this day.
Yeah.
I imagine, right? Uh-huh. That's the stand. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about these newfangled blechs.
Which number are you on?
We're about to do number 12. Shulchan Aruch says, Hamashkim Baboker Rosh Hagdicha Tavshilo. I get up in the morning, this happens, maybe once or twice a year in the Rav household. The children smells too strong.
And you have 20 people for lunch.
Always. And it only happens in those weeks. Right?
Too strong meaning it's burning.
It's about to burn.
Right. It means that we're very low on the liquid at this point, and if we don't do something soon, it's going to burn. And I'm worried it's going to get worse. So he gives me an idea. How's it going right now? So right now, my chulant is cooking on the oven. And the chulant is going to, if I keep it on the oven, it's going to dry out. It's going to be unedible. If I take my chulant off the oven, it's not going to dry out.
It's going to be cold.
It's going to be chulanticles. Right? No one's going to be interested in that either.
No.
Right? So what does he say you can do? Take off your chulant, put an empty pot, and put it on the empty pot.
Get a partition in between the fire.
Get it further from the fire. It'll keep it warm, but not too warm. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. This is a little bit of an introduction to what we'll discuss afterwards, what's called hachzara. That if I want to put something back on the fire, so I have to have in mind that I'm putting it back, it can't cool down. So he says that since you're taking this off the fire and you're returning it to the fire, we'll start discussing that on Thursday, because that's what you're doing, you know, just keep this in mind. But you can do that.
You never say, but maybe it's Thursday's lecture, about keeping contact. Is that Thursday's
lunch? Right, that's Hachzara. Keeping contact is only if I'm going to put it back.
Yes.
Right, this case we're talking about is you're leaving it there from Friday.
Yeah, but I'm saying you've taken it off because it's going to burn and you put the
right. Back. Right, so that we just made a comment that there are rules related to that.
Yeah.
But the focus that I want now is it seems that from the Shulchan Aruch that what? Let's say I have a fire. Can I put an empty pot on the fire?
No, but it seems like on this you can.
So why wouldn't I be allowed to?
I guess you're...
You're just so machmer.
Well, I mean, it's not a flame. I mean, it's a burner, basically.
I'd say it's a flame, as you say.
A flame?
A flame.
I don't think you can do that.
Why not?
If you put an empty pot on the fire, you're going to come to cook in it, to put food in it.
I know they're machmir. So many machmir we have in
there. Well, he's asking.
You're sitting in a shul without a mechitza. Now it's like a machmir on me.
It's upside down, the pot.
It's right side up.
So I'm not... Well, I'm back with what you said. Turn it upside down and put the thing on top.
No, put it on and put it on top. Why
didn't
it upside down?
No.
That
was just in my head. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think upside down is a good idea, though.
Okay, what was going on in your head? It's your business.
You shouldn't come to cook it. That's why.
So the Shulchan Aruch does not seem to have any issue with it whatsoever.
Okay.
Right?
Even a fire?
Why isn't this a fire? What else did they have 500 years ago in the time of Shulchan
Aruch? It had to be fire.
Right. They didn't have other types of fires. They were all firefighters.
Stoked coals, I suppose.
Okay, could have been. But the bottom line is... When he discusses this, again, Kedel Gabi, these are all important things.
Right.
But the key here, but I want to focus on is he says you can go and take the...
Cholent off.
Take an empty pot, put it on the fire.
Right.
Take it out of my cabinet. Put it on the fire and then put something on it.
Got it. That's a new wrinkle.
Right. So, the Rambam... Number 13, he says, if I heat up metal up to the point where it's glowing, that's considered cooking as well.
That's why the fire thing.
Right. So the question is, wait a second. So if you're not allowed to heat up metal, this is cold, and I'm putting it on fire. Pants, I'm a liar. So in that case, you're right. So the question is, how's it? So the Chazon Ish jumps in this. Yesh ayin be'in mechavin lo v'tzav lo l'rachich. Yesh b'mishum mevashel. Let's say I'm heating up metal, and I don't want to soften the metal, right? I don't want to solder the metal. I'm heating it for a different reason. I'm not trying to do anything with the metal itself. In yesh b'mishum mevashel. He says that since we're not really sure how much can you not heat it up, right? What about a chatzis shear? So he said it's best not to heat up your metal on Shabbos. Okay, not such a crazy statement. And just like other foods, if it gets to be hotter than Yad Soledes, well, it might be Mevashel, cooking metal.
Right.
So there's a concept of Chatzi Shir. What's a Chatzi Shir? It means as follows. I'm not allowed to eat pig. How much pig can't I eat?
None. Can't you eat?
I can't eat none.
So the sorry for the poor English, but you can't eat none.
Okay, ain't that the case? So the so if I would eat a pea size worth of pig,
a pea size,
a pea.
Got it.
Is that allowed?
No.
Because it's more than none.
Yes.
Would I get lashes for that? You think it'll be right?
I think maybe.
So you wouldn't. In order to get lashes, you need a kezias, an olive's worth. So if I don't eat an olive's worth a pig, I only eat a pea's worth a pig,
Then back in a few minutes. I'm going to go with the Park Burger.
Okay. Kimba Kimmel.
So you get
less. Go. Don't go to. Go to. He went real chaz to go two doors over. Your wife will tell you about it. So the idea. So if you eat less than that amount, you're not going to get less. Are you allowed to? No. So that's called a chatzi shir.
That's a chatzi shir. Okay.
Right. A chatzi shir is you can't do a half of the amount that's not allowed either. Why not? You might come to eat more. There's several reasons why a chatzi shir would be asur min haTorah. So that being said, he says just like you can't heat up the metal till it's glowing, until it softens, you can't heat it up beyond 100 degrees, 120 degrees, 160 degrees, whatever our kamachal ben our yad saletus bow would be, because it's sort of a chatzi shir of heating it up all the way.
But on a fire, you don't have any control on that temperature. It's going to be hot.
Well, yeah, if I leave it there long enough, it's going to be hot.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Right, it's going to be.
So, what's all this in the background? Now we ask the question that I want to discuss. I see that my wife put food on the burner on Erev Shabbos. It's Shabbos now, and it's still there. She forgot to put on the blech. Can I pick it up, put the blech on, and then put it down?
I don't know why not.
No.
He seems to know why not.
Okay, why not? I mean, why?
I think the concept would be that in the first case, you left it on before it was already cooked. The minute you take it out and you put a new element on, now you put it back on, and now you're starting a new process.
Okay, so it's hafzar. So what? So I had it in hand, I had that last, let's throw seach.
You have to be there before Shabbos, be the separator.
But no, again, it's the separator now.
Yeah, but it's already Shabbos already started.
So again, so the first question is, are you allowed to put the blech on the fire on Shabbos? According to the Chazon Ish, he's going to tell me that I'm heating up the metal. I've got a problem.
I don't
know if that. I play around with the settings. Again, assuming that we assume that this is it might lead to mixed dancing. You know, a lot of things could happen. But the bottom line is, as long as it's on a blech, it's okay now. The only question is putting the blech on problematic? The Chazon Ish would say yes, because it's a chatzi shir of heating up the metal.
Who would say no?
Ramosha Feinstein, number 15, is about to say no.
Good man. Well, that makes much more sense.
Now, can you prove that it's not a problem? Look at number 12. What did we say in number 12?
You're allowed to take an empty pot and put it on.
Right. The Shulchan Aruch didn't think this was
a
problem.
That's where we started.
Hold on, but that empty pot is metal. It's a metal pot.
Right, but there's no issue of cooking there. That's one of the reasons why it wouldn't be
there. We're not talking about cooking.
What's the difference between the pot that I'm going to put the chulent on top of and the blech that I'm going to put the chulent on top of?
In the first case, you're putting something on top of that pot.
Yes.
That's what we read.
You're going to put it on.
Right? So if you look at the Ramosha Feinstein and the Chuvas in the back of writer's book.
Do you think
we can
make it any
lower? I could try.
I can't read that.
Im shachach lahaniach habrech kodim Shabbos, o im nafal b'Shabbos, im mutar haniach habrech b'Shabbos. I forgot to put it on where it fell off in the middle. Can I put it on now? Yeshro kedera al brech, achar v'tzorch letitzo kad. Right? For example, that if I have a I ran out of space. I need something else to go on the blech. Now this has got to get moved on Shabbos. The chen yesh lehochiach misim ereshin and gimel sif gimel. Venira the iri beish katan sheyavshal lematachech lehios gachelos kavosh kosim arad shchit begros Moshe. So he says, doesn't there seem to be a proof from number 12 that in fact it's not a problem? So what's the answer? Tshuva mutter karaya kuotaraso misif gimel. I think you're right. In fact, that seems to be a proof that if you can put the pot on, you can put the blech on. Beishal gaz, who cut the legabe echshash grasos kacheles? Specifically in our ovens, you're not going to be able to smelt metal on a gas oven. The proof being, I leave the brech on there for 25 hours and it never happens.
Right. Never melts.
So, there you have it.
Well, it's kind of because of this,
Hunter,
that a lot of people are going to use this in a way that they'll say, oh, they'll change their mind with these shops, or I want to have something hot, I'm going to put a blech
on top. Well, let me ask you, so again, this happens. This is not uncommon, okay? You have a cholent done on Erev Shabbos, right? And then Friday night you have some guys over and they want to have cholent. Okay? So what am I going to do now? I'm going to take it off.
You have in mind.
I'm going to hold it. I have in mind to return it. This is about, now I'm going to want to put it back in. I don't have an aluminum covering in the interim, in the inside there.
Right.
I don't have a blech. Because I wasn't planning on taking it out and putting it back on.
So that's
you had dust there all along.
I have dust, but I don't have a blech.
Okay, but
I had in mind to put it back, he said. Dust was before Windows.
So but I would reverse in the other case.
Right, so can I put the aluminum foil in and put it back now? What?
Yes.
What does that have to do with dust? No, you do need. You can't do hachzara without a blech.
Right, but my point is, in the case where, let's say you have a pot already sitting there, you don't have any dust or that you should have had in mind from the start. Now there's no way you have any dust for it.
What do you mean? What case are we talking about?
Let's say I have some pot sitting on my...
oven.
A pot sitting on my...
Where's your pot sitting?
No, on my plate. And now
okay.
I'm going to add a
blech
to it.
Fine. So I pick it up, I have a mind to put it back, I flap down the black, and I put it back.
You didn't have any das from the start to have...
So the children, I have to have a das at Erev Shabbos already?
You have to have some type of das that you're going to have a bluff there.
No, I don't need any das. I know people get by fine without das.
To put a bluff on. They just put it already for
it. What?
There has to be some logic to putting on the bluff at some point.
No. So again, what's your difference? Why can I put the blech into my chilling pot, but I can't put it into the oven? I'm not getting the difference.
I think you can.
Right? Yeah, that's not such a crazy case.
The chilling pot itself doesn't need a blech. You left them in the start of shops. Correct? You agree?
I have a chilling pot, okay? Like your grandmother, B'nai Brak, makes. I can imagine how she makes a chilling. She's got a gas stove. She's got a blech on top of it. She's got a pot in which she has two potatoes, a piece of meat. You know,
and a top on it.
Right?
Exactly.
Right. I wonder if she puts in an onion. I think also it's a little feeble. So right. So let's say Friday night she gets a bunch of guys over.
Right.
And she wants to give them chillin', right? And she didn't have a blech before, and she was just letting it sit there. Could you put a blech on now to put it back?
According to
the Moshe Feinstein,
yes.
Yeah.
And the
Shulchan Aruch. Right, because the Chazan Ish has an issue with it.
Right,
because the Chazan Ish thinks that the putting on the metal is the problem. He doesn't. No one thinks there's a Bishul problem here.
Right.
But he thinks the problem is you're cooking the metal.
Right.
It's a strange Chatzis here, this case. It was just
that
common.
Is weird.
Right. How does the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchus Paskin?
If you didn't have that book, right, you couldn't put it directly back on the fire because it would be creating this. You would be now cooking, correct? If I was to take it off and put it right back on,
When we discuss Hachzara starting on Thursday, going on to next Sunday, we're going to talk about the fact that among the things you need to do Hachzara is Gruf of a Katuma.
Right.
There has to be a Blech on it.
Right.
Of some sort. Right.
In that case specifically, the reason, so I'm saying, in essence, you're creating a Blech in order for your cook. Isn't that a...
No.
In order to put it back on, you're putting on the Blech at this point?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't see what the problem is.
Because you want to keep it warm.
You're
putting it right back.
Be happy we have a
hat there
for something. Don't fight it.
It's got a point. Shmir Shabbos Kilkso, Kos Chazanish. Ayin Oy B'Chazanish. The Matech is Kol Shenasa Yad Soled is Boy Yesh Mishu Mevash Lata Yisur Min HaTorah Kein Chatzi Shir V'Tzorchi Daha Havik Chatzi Baruch V'Chatzi Shir. So that's not a Chatzi Shir.
What's not a
Chatzi
Shir?
Right, he said, you know, a chatzi shir is I'm doing the iser, but I'm not doing it enough. Here I'm not even doing the iser, I'm doing half of the iser.
Not even half.
Right? I'm not. There's no such thing as it's half baked. This isn't. So he says that's a very. The chazanish is hard to accept. Maybe he's only talking about some big fire that's really going to eventually melt the metal.
Commercial ovens in a hotel, but not at home.
And also, what type of metal are you using? In a commercial oven, you're using a gesunta pot that's not going to melt.
You're using cast iron.
Right. Vegame, a Mishnah Brewer now. Mashu dafilu isidu rabbanu lechenu v'shishin yechesir vav v'ber halach v'yochol ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. V'ayin should igris Moshe. Masha Kasanta didn't the low shy crack which could do she call us as Matechas. He quotes it for him as well. The Gam Shemat and Gunnar Ashur Mazam and Orbach, that's all. You have Yechotzi, Chatzi. She or Ain Rabbi Nogi on Niach, Pach, Gedom, Beshav, Sal, Eish, Kede, Rik, Tomas, Osam, Ba. Harehu, Bachamis, Matechas, the Osam, Mishum, Vasha, Yahir Yasmus, Mishum, Chatzi, Shiver, Gam, Hoyasoch, Rios, also a Hafsa Kadira, Phil, Kishba, Rotev. It may not have sold as well. So he says, you just don't hear this. He said, how about a case, how about the following case? How about the case where, you know, I'm taking a kugel. I have a kugel in a metal pan. Okay? I have it in an aluminum pan. Eight by 13 pan of kugel. I take it out of the fridge, and now I'm going to heat it up. Anyone ever say that's a problem? It's cooked totally, grew from a ketubah.
Not wet, nothing.
You're allowed to put it on the.
Why aren't you concerned that you're cooking the aluminum pan?
The metal, right.
So, no one ever heard of this. I can't put it on because I'm going to cook the aluminum pan.
It happens to be the pan gets a lot hotter than the cooker.
Okay, right? So it does. But
good. Not by Shal Shudas, it didn't, I tell you.
I'm not going to eat the pan, so yeah. I'm not, whether I'm cooking the pan or not. I mean, who eats the pan?
All right. So, one or two other points to point out here. One is the definition of mitzdamik v'ralo, that it reaches a certain point. So he says, Oshem gemad demayim mechami mitzdamik v'ralo hem. Boiling water. Boiling water you can always put on the, you can always leave on before Shabbos. Why? Because cooking it more will make it worse. Why? It'll evaporate. You don't want that. This is the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchos of comments. Mecham samuvar. Thermostat. So too, there's no problem with shehiyah on a pump pot or a standard urn, right? Because it's cooked, so you leave it on. No, it's mitzvahic v'ralo. It's fine. Meaning what? Why would you take the cover off? You can't add anything to it.
Right, you're just maybe the spout.
It's easier to get out water.
In fact, some of these new ones.
Opening's fine. Closing is fine.
Reach the boiling temperature, even if you open. They're set to go to 200 degrees or whatever. Yeah, they never reach the boiling temperature. So you cannot cook, even if you wanted to.
But since you got to this. One of the things I wondered about, and if I'm out of order, you'll tell me. Nowhere in here, when we talked about the cholent, it smells like it's going to burn.
Yeah.
Why can't we take a cliche knee from our hot water and then put that into the cholent?
Cliche knee would be problematic. You would want to use
cliche.
No. You want a cliche rishon.
Okay, kli rishon. I take the kettle and pour it in. Can I do that?
So that'd be iroi kli rishon.
It'd be totally iroi.
Which is definitely osur.
But that's good news here because it's already mevushal. I pour it on. It's going from mevushal to mevushal. It's not a problem.
Right? Can I
so
do
in
that?
Fact, we would allow that. But a kli sheni, we would not allow it because a kli sheni, right? This is the opposite.
I'm with you now.
It's the hunter for the hose here.
The hose.
The hose.
The hose.
What's the hose?
The hoisin.
In Eidos, there is a chulm pot that is in the oven. And we have a water urn. Sometimes when I come Shabbos morning and the chulm is very dry, we use a garden hose attached to the urn, straight into the, without taking off the chulm.
Right, so the idea is that it's an iri kli rishon, which has a din of kli rishon. It's mevushal beforehand. It's mevushal afterwards. You don't have a problem if
that's
it goes directly in.
Just hook up the hose, to the urn, we open it, and we
right. It's almost like Avodah
Ha'esh. Right. Right, so again, the Hoizen are fine. Right, that would be the idea. But however, if you would take the urn and put it into a pot and then pour that in, that would be a problem. That would be a klisheni ain't a mevashel. It's cooled off. Now you're going to be recooking it by pouring it into the cholent.
But I could do that, and that never has come up here.
Correct. Again, but that's not related to shehiyah in any way. That's related to earlier, right? As we said earlier, when you say that ira kli rishon is kli rishon, we said it's a chomra, that you can't pour it onto something, but it's also a kula. We said it was a kula by kashering. That's a kula here as well. I can put it into a boiling pot or something else. I don't have a problem. The last topic I wanted to talk about in shehiyah is what's called kedera chayasa. Kedera chayasa bothered Patty very much last time. So I think before she leaves town, before she leaves town, we got to get a little closure here. What's Kedera Chayasa? So we said as follows. Let's say I have I take my pot, and I have meat, and I have beans in it, and I have potatoes in it, and I have maybe some barley in it. And a minute before Shabbos, I put it on the oven.
Oh, yeah.
Right? We said that the Gemara says that's allowed. Why? There's no Gezer Shemeyachata Begacholim. Why not? Because to eat it Friday night, I could stoke my coals Hanbis Morgan. It's not going to be cooked.
It's not edible.
But it's not going to help me. And for tomorrow, either way, it's going to be cooked. So that's the head of Kedera Chayasa. So do we rely on Kedera Chayasa? So first, as of Shimon Eider, go in order. What?
19.
This is remove your glasses, 19.
Right.
This allowance of Kedera Chayasa only applies for raw meat, which cannot become cooked for the evening suda. However, if a raw vegetable and the like is used, one may not allow the pot of food to remain on the fire unless it will be cooked k'machob then dusoy before Shabbos. Now, there are things out there. So we put it on, let's say, tomorrow. We'll make Shabbos. On Friday, we're going to make Shabbos at 6:30. This week, we're up to. Right? Something like that. It's getting early.
That's still early.
What? It's early. Okay, so I'm 6:25. I'm going to put it on. I'm not going to come home from shul until probably 7:45, 8 o'clock. There's an awful lot of things that can cook in an hour and 15 minutes, hour and a half. Right? Meat maybe can't.
But the vegetables would cook.
But vegetables can. So if there's any vegetable in the pot, I've got a problem. Right? Because my wife might stoke the coals. At least she can serve the vegetables. That's point number one. The reason for this difference is that since the vegetable can be cooked by the evening suda, he does not indicate by this that he's removed from his mind and he may come to stir the coals. Some folks know that since we are not certain of the exact moment of the commencement of Shabbos, we are required to refrain from the malacha before sunset. Nowadays, the chayisa does not apply. Issue number two. So that doesn't apply here, but let's say the issue is going to be a typical Shabbos. So sunset today is like 8 o'clock. Right? We mentioned several times that we're not really sure when does the night begin. Does the night begin at sunset? Or does the night begin at the point when there is such a declension of the sun that you can see three medium stars? Which is at least a half an hour later, we keep on saying. Okay? So when do I accept Shabbos? I accept Shabbos before sunset. I got to be careful. When is Shabbos out? Shabbos isn't out until after the stars are out. I accept Shabbos at sunset, but you know what? That might be a chumrah. And really, Shabbos night might not be beginning until a half hour later. So I'm not putting it on the fire at Shabbos raw. It's going to cook a half hour at least before Shabbos begins. So it's not going to be raw anymore. So because of this issue of when the Shabbos start, I can't put it on the last moment. Because the last moment might be a half hour later. So that's problem number two. Since our stoves of gas cook more rapidly than their stoves, thereby lacking the indication, does not intend to use this food for the evening suda. A half hour worth of cooking in our stoves can really get the job done. Another reason mentioned by some bars require food to be cooked completely or at least machal ben drusay before Shabbos, even if a blech is used. Our blech is usually placed over a large area, and many plats are placed on it. However, usually one or two fires are used under the blech. Frequently, a pot must be moved from the fire so it should not burn, or moved to the fire should not cool off. Nowadays, people move on the blech. Moving a food which is not cooked completely closer to the fire is a melacha d'oraisa. If I accidentally move the one that's not cooked, now I'm in real trouble.
Right.
One should preferably conduct himself according to this view. Based on that, he said, this kedera chayisa should not be relied upon at all.
I don't know what that means. What should not be relied upon?
You should not put raw food right before Shabbos.
Okay.
But even though the Gemara says it works, for various reasons, it might have worked in the time of the Gemara. We have issues nowadays. Rav Soloveitchik was similarly not inclined towards this heter. If you look at the Nefesh HaRav, he says, heter the kedera chayisa lo shayich bezman hazeh. It just doesn't apply anymore. The getter inyan zeh hu sheba'ad sudas hayom ben yechach tebel lo yechat yehe daim avushul ba'ad sudas halayro ben yechat tebel lo yechat lo yehem avushul betanurim shalonu tamid esher levashel bekal achinu ba'ad sudas halayro. There's no indication that it only applies by a communal oven.
Right, but I think what I'm trying to say is I think the concept was back then, most likely if you put in the food right before Shabbos, you were going to sit around smoking, and you probably weren't going to come back to a later point to take it, probably the next day. Nowadays, people probably can wash their food much closer being that it's in their house.
So again, I don't know if I agree with that because there was no indication that Kedera Chayisa only applied in communal ovens.
So
no, because again, their ovens cook slower than our ovens. Right? The idea is in a half hour, so that's what Rav Soloveitchik is saying, that's what Rav Shimon Ida is saying. Basically, anything could be cooked by the time the meal starts. It takes me an hour and 15 minutes to get home from shul. Right? Because, you know, especially on Kalbach Shabbos, I get an hour and a half. Right? All right? You put that together, you can't say it's never going to be ready by tonight. It'll be ready enough by tonight if we get it right beforehand.
So, can I ask a question here?
I imagine you could.
Leave the vegetables aside for a second. Let's just say it's meat.
Right.
It's not going to be cooked by Shabbos, even mm-hmm. an hour later. It's not.
Is that so true?
Well, it could be really, really rare.
Well, again, how long you put chicken in an oven for?
An hour.
Okay, so chicken would be good.
But again, I do chicken an hour at 350.
Right. The pressure cooker could cook very fast.
Right. But that's not what we're talking about.
Why? In today's modern cooking?
Well, I want to understand this.
So a turkey.
Whatever. My point is this.
What if you have something that can't cook by that time?
You say, right.
Would that be okay?
Yes, that'll work for me.
Right.
For this example.
Right. A turkey.
A turkey.
Right. Turkey takes hours to cook.
Hours.
Unless I deep fry it.
Right.
With Oreos.
Dafke, isn't that cooking on Shabbos? You put it on before Shabbos. It is not cooked by the time Shabbos comes in.
Correct.
It's cooking all night. That seems to me to be cooking on Shabbos.
And what's wrong with that?
Well, I thought we're not supposed to be cooking on Shabbos.
That's very karaitic, that thought.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? We can keep our lights on Shabbos.
Yes, but we're not going to consume the lights. I mean,
we're going to get benefit from the lights.
I understand, and we use a timer for that. But this is something...
No, I don't use it. I turn them on, I just leave them on.
Fine. Okay. Either way, my point is this is food that...
My carbon footprint is huge.
I can smell. So my point is that if that's something that we're actually going to eat.
That's what's wrong with eating.
Nothing's wrong with eating. It seems to me that it's... So
I'm saying that there would not be a problem. Again, if you come up with a case... Where it's something that takes mamish hours to cook and there's no vegetables involved in it, I would think it would be allowed.
That's amazing to me. So what's the law then? What's the halakha? Can we cook on Shabbos?
You can put something in the oven on Shabbos. But something that you put in the oven before Shabbos, if there's no concern that you're going to stoke the coals on Shabbos,
okay,
it's allowed to remain there.
So no one stokes the coals.
So we can cook.
People adjust the knobs. It's the same thing as stoking the coals.
So we can't cook on Shabbos, basically.
Our food could be cooking on Shabbos, but we cannot cook on Shabbos.
Let's say you have a Shabbos.
I was just to be clear on that. This is going on to the internet.
Let's say you have a Shabbos mode oven, which means basically once you press that button, you can't do anything anymore.
What? You can't be.
The Shabbos.
Yeah, how am I going to cook on Sunday?
No, I'm saying you can't do it on Shabbos itself.
How am I going to cook on Sunday? Okay, I'm going to turn off the Shabbos mode. Shkoyach.